So on text 20, this is the section on Prakriti and Purusha. Krishna has already described Kshatra Kshatragya, Jnanam Gyayam, and now he's going back to the first two questions, Prakriti and Purusha. And we'll understand why he did that, because he's now describing more, maybe you could say complicated knowledge, and also the mentality of the Kshatragya, the living entity who's trying to be Purusha. So first we should define the tattva, and then we can describe the mentality or the psychological condition which causes the living entity to come in contact with material nature. The cause which brings about the Kshatragya to come into the Kshatra. So let's chant number 20.
Prakritim purusham chayeva vidyanare bhavaki vikaramscha gunamschayeva vidhi prakriti sambhavan.
Material nature and the living entity should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. So again, he begins the section with the words themselves, Prakriti Purusha Chayva. So, and then he says that Vidhi Anadi Ubhavapi, that the first thing you should know about these Arjuna is that they are Anadi. Ubha means both of them. So they're both beginningless. That's their common feature. There's no beginning. Material energy is also eternal. The living entity we understand is eternal because it's spiritual. But the material energy, we think of it as temporary, but it's actually eternal. It's the Lord's energy. We think of it as temporary because we see that it has these transformations in this world of coming and going. But actually even the physicists, they understand that there's a conservation of energy. That the energy is never actually destroyed. It just transforms from one form to another. So, material nature is also anadi. So Krishna makes this statement that both of them are beginningless. But now he describes the way they're different in the second half of the verse. Vikarangsha gunangschaiva vidi prakriti sambhavam. That anytime you see any vikara, transformation, or any guna, material quality, then you should understand it to be coming from the Prakriti. So the living entity, the Purusha, he doesn't transform. He's eternal, unchangeable. The living entity is not cleavable, breakable, withered by the wind, water, or it cannot be burned. It's eternally the same. So there's no vikaras in the jiva, or the living entity. And there's no gunas. Asangoyam purusha iti. The purusha is detached from the material energy. He has no contact with it, really. He's not affected by material energy. So this is the difference. There's no transformation and there's no gunas. The spirit soul cannot be in the mode of passion. His subtle body can be in the mode of passion. And because he misidentifies with that body, then he acts in a passionate way. But the spirit soul is never in passion or in goodness or in ignorance. He's transcendental. So in this section, Krishna is describing how in the previous section, gyaya, that the gyaya is the soul and the super soul. So now he's describing both of these things as Purusha in terms of their connection with Prakriti. So the Kshatragya is two, the soul and super soul. The Gyayam, the object of knowledge, is also two, the soul and the super soul. And the Purusha is two, the soul and the super soul. It's referring to the same thing, but in different contexts. Now, the soul and super soul are being described in context with their entering into and being connected with the Prakriti, in particular in the kind of psychological ethos or their particular mood, their psyche, how the living entity is trying to imitate the real enjoyer, who is Krishna, Moktaram Jagatapasam. So the same is describing it in a different way from this point of view, describing the mentality. We'll see a lot of that in this section. This section is like really packed with philosophy. It's really the crux of our philosophy. There's this chapter in particular, and Prabhupada says this in the last commentary, that this subject should be understood with Vaishnavas in connection with the spiritual master. And then it's very important knowledge. It is the real basis of our Siddhanta. This whole chapter, but this section also is very concentrated, compressed knowledge. Prabhupada comments at the end of the commentary in 20. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. Interesting statement. In view of the discussions of the origin of the jiva, I like the way Prabhupada makes these very deep statements. So we may not understand why or how, but Krishna understands why and how. So if we can get to know Krishna, then he can enlighten us about this, why and how we've come here. So we shouldn't spend so much time trying to figure that out, because you can spend many weeks and months in tossing different statements back and forth, and then you still won't understand it ultimately. So so now, the relationship between the jiva and the changes which are caused by the material nature are elaborated in the next verse. Text 21. Karya karana kartritve hetu prakritir uchate purusha sukadhukanam bhoktritve hetur uchate. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. So again, Krishna is describing the difference between Prakriti and Purusha in this verse, and the relationship between the living entity and the changes which are caused by the Prakriti. There's these vikaras, transformations, which is coming from the Prakriti. And so the living entity is related or connected to those transformations. And he describes why or how. The first thing he says is that karya karana kartvidhe hetu prakriti ujjate. That the property is the hetu of the causes and effects in the material world. Here the hetu means cause, but it also means instrument or medium. So the material nature is the instrument for all material cause and effect. The word prakriti means enjoyable, by the way, Prabhupada said. And Purusha means enjoyer. So the living entity is trying to become the enjoyer and enjoy the prakriti. But the interesting point is that the living entity is himself prakriti and to be enjoyed. So he's acting in a false premise, in a false condition. And Prabhupada has given many lectures describing how the living entity is falsely acting in illusion and suffering because of this. Everyone wants to be happy, and he describes that the Purusha is, because prakriti is feminine, Purusha is masculine, and Purusha means enjoyer, and prakriti means enjoy. But he says that both men and women in this world are Purushas because they're trying to enjoy. So as long as one has enjoying mentality, he's considered to have this false Purusha condition or mentality. And it means he's in a false condition. And this is the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, to give up that enjoying propensity and simply become a cooperator. So the living entity's real business is to figure out how to get Krishna to enjoy, how to assist Krishna in his enjoyment. But it's we don't have that mentality. We want to enjoy. So the more we want to enjoy, actually, ironically, the more we suffer. Because it's not our real position. It's the old big fish, little fish philosophy. The little fish wants to become the big fish. And so, but he can't. He's the little fish. It's just his, you know, unfortunate condition, you might say. But if he just accepts that, then he can be happy. So we should try to simply assist Krishna in his enjoyment. That is described in the 23rd verse here, in this chapter. The Purushas are described, the Purusha now being described is the Jiva. But in text 23, the Lord, as a real enjoyer, will be described. So, getting back to this, the philosophy of text 21. So the prakriti is the medium or the instrument for all cause and effect in this material world. Because once you're in it, then whatever you do, is accommodated by the material energy. Just like if you're in a salt mine, everything tastes salty. Or if we throw you in the swimming pool, everything you do after that will be wet. Because you're in water. So this is really what it means. It's very simple. So if we throw you in the swimming pool, then the water becomes the instrument of all cause and effect. Because you're stuck in the water. Everything you do and all of the reactions that come back to you are being carried by and facilitated by the water. So therefore the water is the cause of all cause and effect. So similarly, the living entity, the soul, is thrown into material energy, the property. So therefore everything he does, everything that happens to him and everything that goes on, it's all accommodated by, facilitated by the material energy. It's very simple, really. It sounds very complicated, the sentence, but it's very simple, actually. So now the second part describes the Purushas. The Purushas, the living entity as the Purusha, his role in this transformation and cause and effect in the material world. Purusha, sukha dukkha anam, bhoktve, hetur uchate. So the living entity is said to be the cause of his own suffering and enjoyment in this world. Because he is the one who instigates the activity, ultimately. He is the one who wanted to enjoy the property. And how he moves and acts in the property is his desires. He's initiating it from his desire. And then there are reactions. There are transformations and reactions. How he moves and acts in the property is his desires. He's initiating it from his desire. And then there are reactions. There are transformations and reactions. So it's his, he owns his own sukha and dukkha when he misidentifies himself as the Purusha. He owns it. It's like, you know, he builds his own prison and then goes inside and locks it. And then he complains how he has no freedom. It's like this. So all of us, we enter to enjoy, and then we get caught up in the cage of the material energy. And then we're limited, and there's some suffering, because it's an unnatural position. And then we start complaining. This jail is dirty, it's cold, I don't like it here. You know, why can't it be nice here? Where is God? Why he made it like this? If I was God, I would have made it very much different. But God is not the one who put us here. We're the ones that came. And we act in the material energy, and we get reactions from that act and from those actions. So we are the owners of that. So, as the enjoyer, we misidentify. And this misidentification causes us to own our own happiness and distress in a false way. Just like when you go to a movie theater, you go there to enjoy the movie. And when the movie comes on, you just become mesmerized. You know, if you could go up on the stage or behind the screen and look, you know, at people watching a movie, you'll see very interesting faces, you know. Everyone's just, you know, like when someone's watching television, you can come in a room and say, hey, how are you doing? And then they just go, you know, they get locked in, right? The one-eyed guru is mesmerizing them. So it's like that because they're transferring their consciousness into the lights of the screen to try to enter into this other world. They're misidentifying. They're no longer in this world. Their consciousness is in that movie. So sometimes they can sit for 3 or 4 hours and then and they're experiencing. Sometimes there's a sad, you know, scene where the lovers, you know, one of them kills the lady kills herself because she thinks the man doesn't love her or something, and then everyone starts crying in the theater, right? And I feel so sorry for they're feeling these sentiments. And then there's something funny or something scary, and they experience those emotions. They cry, they become frightened, shiver, they laugh. So the laughter and the crying and the shivering, that's real. But it's based upon an illusory thing. It's just lights on the screen. But because he's misidentifying with that, he's trying to get into that. He's identifying himself with the various characters in the movie. So therefore, he's experiencing the crying and all these things as real. And they become real. For him, they become real. So the soul becomes matter. because of this misidentification. And then the sukha and dukkha becomes his as a factual experience. So, purusha sukha dukkandam. We own our own happiness and distress, and we're the cause of that. Bokrite hetu uchate. Okay, text 22 is the seed mantra or sutra for the whole last six chapters. It's like the Paribhasha Sutra for the whole last six chapters. It is the microchip. Everything's packed up in this one verse, all the last six chapters. Therefore, you should know this verse. I think it should be one of the ones on it. It's the only one. This is the main one. Most important verse in this chapter. And in the whole last six chapters. Well, until you get Sarvadhamma Pratyaksha, Manmana Bhava. For the philosophical, up till chapter 17, you can say it like that. But it's the microchip, the sutra. Alright, let's chant them. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karnam guna sangasya sarasanyuni janmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. So as we go along in the next few chapters, I will be always referring back to this verse. Because practically everything in this, the next five chapters, refers back to this verse. This verse unpacks into chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. And then 18 is just a recap of the entire book. So again, purusha prakriti stohi. So stha means to stand or to be situated in. So he, indeed. The living entity is indeed situated in the prakriti, unfortunately. It's an unnatural situation. Because the living entity wants to be the purusha, but he himself is the prakriti. So Krishna has to create a phantasmagoria in order that the living entity may enjoy. So therefore he creates a jad prakriti, a dull material elements, the 24 elements that make up kshetra, so that the living entity can dominate and enjoy the material energy. And this enjoying, dominating, and enjoying propensity is found in all conditioned souls. Man, woman, animals, fish, birds, reptiles, everything, even trees. Prabhupada says the tree is standing for hundreds of years and he's thinking, I'm enjoying. Or the, whatever, worm and stool, all these things. He's suffering, eating, you know, the pig is eating stool and saying, it's very good. Very nice, it's enjoyable. This is prakshepatmika shakti, this energy of covering the living entity so that he actually thinks that the stool is tasty. How powerful is this energy, illusion? This is our unfortunate condition. So that dominating mood is there. We see the dominator generally is the male, and then the female is the enjoyer in the sense of being dominated. But we see even in the perverted sense, like even when there's two men, like homosexuals, very popular nowadays, and one of them takes the dominating role, and one of them takes the dominated. Even then, you can see this psyche is fundamental in all situations, in all living entities. Every day I walk to the temple from my house where I'm staying, and there's these street dogs, and you can see the consciousness of the male and the female dogs. And the male dog, he wants to enjoy the female dogs. And if another male dog comes, he starts to growl. He gets very angry. And he says, "You stay away. This is my female. You cannot come near." Like this. Very intense. And then they fight. And the female dog is kind of enjoying it. And she's like, playing with this one and looking at this one and going back like this. And there's all this whole kind of, every day there's like a whole scene going on in the street with the dogs. It's very funny. So you can see the Purusha mentality and the dominating and the dominated mentality is there in all the species of life. So Purusha Prakriti Stohi, the Purusha is situated in the Prakriti. Why? Bhunte Prakriti Jangana. Because he wants to enjoy those things which are born of the Prakriti. Prakriti Jan. Like Janma. Like Janmashtami. So Jan means born. Prakriti Jan. Those things which are born of the material nature. The living entity wants to enjoy those things. And that's why he's coming. Krishna has created this whole phantasmagoria, this whole plethora of material elements and different forms and different tastes and different everything, so that the living entity can fulfill his desires, long-cherished desire to dominate and to enjoy this inferior material energy. So Bhunte Prakriti Janyanam. That's the reason why Krishna creates this place. It's the reason why the living entity comes here. So try to enjoy it. And then what happens? Karanam Guna Sangasya. Because the Prakriti is made out of the three gunas, so the living entity coming to enjoy, he has to associate. Guna Sangha, he has to associate. He's asangoyam purusha. He's not actually connected. But he wants to enjoy, so there's some connection through the subtle body. Right? He puts on the shoes of the subtle body and then he walks around as the purusha. So there's this guna sangha, not satsanga. No satsanga. There's guna sangha. He's associating with the material energy and it's made of these gunas. So then his subtle body becomes affected by the gunas. And because he's trying to be the subtle body, he's trying to be the body, he becomes the body in a sense. So therefore he misidentifies with that and thus he can enjoy these gunas according to his taste. And therefore, sarasad yoni janmasu, then he takes different kinds of births according to his particular taste of the gunas. Sat and asat, sometimes pious and sometimes impious. Yoni janmasu, he takes birth in different species of life. Demigods are in the mode of goodness, humans in passion, and the animals are in ignorance. And then there's all kinds of, variations in between. 81, probably, is variations. Of course, it's unlimited, but it's like 81 major combinations of the three modes. Because 3 times 3 is 9, and 9 times 9 is 81. So you get these combinations of, different kinds of bodies. So many nice varieties you can go and choose. Once I saw a movie in America, it was called The Twilight Zone. Every week they had this show. And there was one, some of it was quite interesting. Maybe the guy was Rod Serling, maybe he used to read the Vedas or something, because some of them were interesting. There's one person had died, and there was these old people, and it was considered, in the future. And they went to some shop, kind of like a big shopping mall. It was a very kind of scientific place, though. It was like a company, and they were trying to buy their next body. Yeah, they were, and they had this kind of view: what you see is what you get. What you develop is what you desire, and then you desire a particular body. That's what you get. And these bodies we have now are according to what we desired in the past. So, Prabhupada says in the commentary, due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the living entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes a man, sometimes beast, sometimes bird, worm, aquatic, saintly man, and as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity himself thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to his association with the different modes of nature. So one has to rise above that, and that's Krishna consciousness. And that change, because the samsara cycle of birth and death is going on and on and on and on, and you're locked in. You can't get out. But when you hear from authorities, it breaks the chain. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature. And gradually and proportionally, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. So when you accept the fact, I'm a cooperator, I'm Krishna's the enjoyer, let me try to help him to enjoy it, then life becomes very simple and easy. And you become very peaceful. And then you actually enjoy. When you give up the desire to enjoy, you enjoy. And when you want to enjoy, then you suffer. What a crazy place. Please chant. Upadrashtano mantacha bharta bhukta paheshwaraha paramatmete chapyukto deismin purushamaraha. Yet in this body there is another, a transcendental enjoyer, who is the Lord, the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the supersoul. So, this is the Purusha Paraha. You see, the Parapurusha, he is the superior Purusha, or the real Purusha is now being described. And he is Upadrashta. Means he is the overseer. Upa means close, and Drashta means seer. So he's very close, he's in our heart, and he's watching. So he's watching everything and observing everything, and he knows what we want, he knows what we've done, and he knows what we're going to do in the future also. Nedaham samatiddani vartamanani charjana mamishani chabutani mamtumerana kasjana. But we're not aware of him. He knows past, present, and future. And he is anumanta cha. He's also the anumanta. That means he is the permitter. That whatever he says, we follow. The word anu means to follow. So we follow his direction, his sanction. Right? Man proposes and God disposes. So we make a proposition and he permits us to perform this activity. Even though sometimes he may not want us to do that, but he gives permission. He permits the living entity to fulfill his desires. And it's a natural condition of the prakriti, or the living entity who is in his natural state as the cooperator and servant, to always seek the permission of the oversoul, the supersoul. It's like Prabhupada says that when he was a little boy, when he wanted to go to the WC, to the privy, as they said at that time, he would ask his mother, "Can I go? Can I go?" And she would say, "Why are you asking me? You can ask, you can go. I'm nothing's stopping you, just go." He would say, can I go? So he said, this is nature. The little boy is asking his mama, can I go to the privy? So actually everything we do is actually given sanction by Krishna. And even though he may not want us to do something, he says, oh, I want you to surrender to me. Sarvadhamam prityajya mam ekam sharanam cha. But we think, no, I don't want to surrender, my dear sir. I want to enjoy. I want to do this other thing. Krishna says, okay, well, if you really insist, then you can do it, but at your own risk. Right? So it's like, you know, you ever seen signs like that? You can enter at your own risk, or something like this. So you can enjoy the material energy, but it's at your own risk. And Krishna will allow us to, he's allowed us all to come here to enjoy. But we can see it's a big risk. So he is the Anumanta. And Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. He is the maintainer. And he is the real Bhokta. He is the real enjoyer. We are Bhokta. And he is Bhokta. We are enjoyed, and he is the enjoyer. And he is the Maha Ishwara. We are all little Ishwars of our family, of our shop, of our office, of our children, or whatever. But Krishna is Maha Ishwara. Some people are big Ishwars, they are the president of a country. But Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Supreme Controller. The living entity is trying to imitate this controlling-ness, this dominating feature of God. But he is the Maha Ishvara, and he is the real Purusha. So he's the real controller, therefore he's the real enjoyer. Because someone is really the enjoyer of something, that means he's controlling it. But we can't control anything. So it's clear that we're not the enjoyers of anything. We can't even control our own body. And as we said, Krishna says, apani padam, that this is, or the sarvatam pani padam tat, that his legs and hands and eyes and ears are spread everywhere. Yeah? He is the Purusha Para, the supreme enjoyer, and we are meant to use our eyes and our hands and our intelligence and all of our senses in order to serve him. So he's the real Ishwar in that sense. And this very clearly says, Paramatmeti Chapyukto. So this describing that the Purusha, right, is there in the Kshatra, but there is another enjoyer, Ubadrashta Anumanta Cha. Marta Bhokta Maheshwara and Paramatmeti Chapyukto. He is said to be the Paramatma. Yeah. So there's two Purushas. They are clearly two separate entities. One is the Atma, the Jiva, and the other one is Paramatma. One is Purusha, and the other is Parapurusha. Superior enjoyer, superior Atma, soul, super soul. Dehe smin, in this body, there's two. It's very clearly that Krishna is saying there's this. Prabhupada mentions this in the commentary, that it's very clear that there's these two. And then he says, the super soul has legs and hands everywhere, but the individual soul does not. And because the Paramatma is the Supreme Lord, he is present within to sanction the individual soul's desiring material enjoyment. Without the sanction of the Supreme Soul, the individual soul cannot do anything. Then he says, the last paragraph is very potent. If you wanted to make a pamphlet and pass it out to people, or something like this for preaching, you can take this last paragraph and just print that and give it out in the flyer. And you'll make many devotees. Guaranteed. If you want to preach, you can do that. Listen to this. It applies to everybody, but in such a deep way into the heart. It applies to everyone. It makes you feel like it's just talking, it's for you only. This is very interesting. The fact is that every living entity, every individual living entity is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and both of them are very intimately related as friends. But the living entity has a tendency to reject the sanction of the Supreme Lord and act independently in an attempt to dominate nature. And because he has this tendency, he is called the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity can be situated either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. As long as he is conditioned by the material energy, the Supreme Lord, as his friend, the Supersoul, stays with him just to get him to return to the spiritual energy. The Lord is always eager to take him back to the spiritual energy. But due to his minute independence, the individual entity is continually rejecting the association of spiritual light. This misuse of independence is the cause of his material strife in the conditioned nature. The Lord, therefore, is always giving instruction from within and from without. From within, he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita. And from without, he gives instructions as stated in Bhagavad Gita. And from within, he tries to convince the living entity that his activities in the material field are not conducive to real happiness. Just give it up and turn your faith toward me. Then you will be happy, he says. Thus, the intelligent person who places his faith in the Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins to advance toward a blissful eternal life of knowledge. A very intense purport. Let's chant verse 24. So, verses 24 to 26, they mention the results of understanding this knowledge. Alright? Ya evam vitti purusham prakritim cha gunaye saha One who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So, just understanding this is conducive to liberation. And sarvata vartamano pi, although in he's situated in any different kind of situation in this body, he can still attain liberation. Nasa bhuya vijayate, na bhuya vijayate. He never takes birth again. So Prabhupada compared this to ihayasya haraya dasye kamana manasa gira jivan mukta sa uchete. So the living energy, if he engages his senses and mind in the service of the Lord as the Lord's servant, then even though he's incarcerated within the material tabernacle, he still is considered to be jivan mukta, liberated. So the situation of being in the body or any situation, it will not hamper one's liberation. It depends on one's knowledge, one's surrender and devotion. And sincerity, ultimately. So, as the living entity, he learns this, and he gradually becomes liberated from the restraints of the kshatra and the 24 elements by understanding this knowledge. Signs have stopped. Alright. Now, one might ask, is there any other means for attaining this stage of liberation? And that's described in the next verse. Let us chant.
Haribol.
Janin atman nipushyante kechad atmaram atmana anye sangena yogena karma yogena chadvane. Some perceive the Supersoul within themselves through meditation, dhyana, and others through the cultivation of knowledge, samkhya, yoga, and still others through working without fruitive desires, karma yoga. So you all know what these mean, these terms mean, because we've studied this. The first six chapters describe these yoga systems, especially Nishkam Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, and some Sankhya was there. So someone can perceive the super soul, just like in chapter 5, text 17 up to text 24. There's a description of the liberation of the living entity through karma yoga. He realizes Vidyavanaya Sambane Brahmani Gavihastini Shuni Chayavo Shvapake Chapandita Samadarshan. He sees the super soul everywhere, and thus he's gentle and respectful to all living entities. And he sees them equally. He sees their spirit souls there. So one can attain this through the various kinds of yogas. But these yogas are not direct means for seeing the Lord. They're merely links. They're all in the mode of goodness. And bhakti is completely transcendental. So the Sankhyites have philosophy as their primary means for attaining liberation. They may do a little meditation, but that's secondary. And the karma yogis, they may also do a little philosophizing on the side, and they may do a little meditation. But for them, the primary means is to perform detached work or karma yoga. So says Baladeva Nibhushan. Okay. Now someone might ask, well, what if someone can't do Samkhya Yoga or Karma Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga? Is there any other way that he can attain this? So then Krishna says, yes, Anye Cha. There are some other kind of people, and they do it in a different way. Text 26. Anye Tvevam Majanatah Shrutvani Vya Upasati Tepi Chatita Ranteva Mrityam Shruti Parayana. There are Shruti Parayanas. They've taken shelter of hearing. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. So, Anye too. But there is another way. The Anye means the general public. They're not scholars of Bhagavad Gita. They don't study Shastra. They're not involved in yoga systems. But they have little faith, and they approach someone who is an authority, and they hear, they're simple. They don't have a lot of different desires, but they hear with faith, and they go to someone that has who is an authority. And in this way, they attain the same goal, just from Shruti Parayana, from hearing. Maladeva Nibhushan says they don't know there's three paths, but they like to hear from the proper source. And because of good association and following what is heard, then they progress. They hear with faith and without material desires. So these are simple-hearted people, kind of like village people in India. They go to a satsang or they go to Bhagavad Sapta and they hear. And if the person's bona fide and speaking, then they make benefit. They come, you know, without any ulterior motives and so forth. And they're just open. And they're just simple general people. Simple people or general public. And Prabhupada describes this about the hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya preached in South India, he just stressed this method, Shruti Parayana. Chant Hare Krishna and hear Bhagavatam. That's all. And take prasad. He didn't stress, you know, so many other, you know, big austerities, big Vedic scholar, and this, that. Just hear, chant, take prasad. Hari Bol. And we can see that this working. Like for us, like if Prabhupada came to New York and said, okay, now you have to study Rig Veda and you have to study the Taittiriya Upanishad. Now you have to learn this grammar and then you have to give up all of these sinful things, and he wouldn't have gotten even to first base. Even 1 inch he wouldn't have gone. He just said, just come, chant Hare Krishna, just listen to the kirtan, take some prasadam. And hear some lecture for half an hour. And this. So, they, because of their tendency to hear from the right authorities, and they have some faith, and they follow what they hear, then they also transcend the path of birth and death. Mrityu Shruti Parayana. So they're called Shruti Parayanas. It's good. That's most of us. This is our category. Right? We're not big yogis. We're Shruti Parayana. Okay. Alright. That's the end of the section, isn't it? Okay. So that's it for Prakriti and Purusha. Any questions? As we mentioned yesterday, he's referring to the Supersoul, his expansion, Paramatma. So sometimes he refers to him in third person. And then sometimes he mentions, you know, that they should surrender to me, or they take shelter of me, or something like that. Because he's like gradually revealing his position. He's already revealed that he's God. But, I mean, also these other yogis, they're not worshipping him directly. They don't love him. But they may realize the Supersoul. So he's referring in the third person. In the commentaries in chapter 18, Krishna, our previous acharyas, they posed Krishna saying, I spoke in the third person as if, you know, that you should surrender to, like he says in chapter 18, surrender unto him utterly. So in that commentary, I believe that verse, he says, I've spoken, you know, that it about him in the third person, as if he's someone else. But you already know that I am the Supersoul, Arjuna. So now just surrender to me and you will attain perfection. Yes. So Krishna's, you know, kind of weaving in and out of these things. Sometimes he says himself, and sometimes for him, Vishnu, Mahavishnu. I mean, Mahavishnu is a separate person in the sense that he wanted to see Krishna and Arjuna so much that he stole these Brahmins' children, right? And then Krishna and Arjuna went up to find where they went, and then Mahavishnu got darshan of Krishna. He thought, oh, very good. No, I'm seeing the Supreme Personality of God. It's most beautiful. And Krishna and Arjuna, they offered their obeisances to Mahavishnu. And he's a separate person, right? But he's also one with Krishna. He's also the original candle. So it's Achindya Veda Veda. He's the same and he's completely different and he's the same. Simultaneous oneness and difference. What can I say? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just Purusha Sukha Dukkha Anam Bhoktive Hitu Uchite. He is riding on Brahmayan Sabhabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya, just like on a machine. He's getting a free ride, and he's just desiring, and then the material energy kicks in and facilitates his desires. So in that sense, he is the doer. But alone, he cannot do anything. Prabhupada said in that commentary of Anumantacha, right? Because Krishna is the sanction. Krishna has the sanction. And then the demigods and the material energy begins to facilitate. In the next few verses, we'll see that it says the living energy doesn't do anything. There's both. In this chapter, there's both of these things. This is our, what is it called? Vaishnava etiology, the study of causation. We already went through this in chapter 5. But here again it comes up. To the degree that they're not manifest and they're not active. When they become active, then he means he's I can say he becomes more the doer. But it's the same thing. He can't do anything unless the Lord sanctions. the Lord still has the sanction. Anyway, if you have any questions, then you can write them down. We'll have more time tomorrow to discuss these things. And then this point about the doer will come up again and then tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki.